CliffCentral.com.
All right, we are live. CliffCentral.com on a Friday morning. There's lots to get to, lots to talk about. I've got Simpiwe in the studio. She is, where is Simpiwe? In the Hulk, the husk of what used to be CliffCentral.com. Actually, Ben popped in yesterday too in the middle of all our moving. And it was chaos, right? You've never seen the place as messy as that, even when Jane didn't clean it.
Yeah, it was quite weird because obviously it was all the memories that came back. There was so much that happened in that studio. There was so many different like moments that I often thought to myself, like, wow, I can't believe we're actually doing this, and I can't believe people are actually participating in this.
Well, I mean, this is the funny thing is that, I mean, apart from carrying heavy things all day yesterday and packing and unpacking boxes and moving furniture and climbing up and down and things and tearing shit down and, you know, folding shit up. Simpiwe had to fold up that whole backdrop in the studio. It's just all of it was like, it was such a crazy busy day. And I got into bed last night and I was fucked. I've got to say that there's something nice about getting a lot done in a day and just that exhaustion that you feel at the end of it. You're like, there's no problem getting to sleep after a day like that, right?
No, it's very healthy.
Yeah, I think so. All right, so we will be out of that building that Simpiwe is in now by the by lunchtime today. I've got to swing by there on my way into the new place, and then it is done, closing that chapter.
Yes, the keys are being returned to the sender.
Exactly. Ben, how's your year started? We didn't really catch up on any of that last week, but are you guys in full flow over there at the moment? Everything going well?
Yeah, absolutely, Gareth. It's going really well. From the agency side, the sports business, this is the year. This is the actual year. Already had a weekend away, which is very productive and good and relaxing. And yeah, it's completely changing my gym routine. So it's actually been probably the busiest January, I think, of all my Januaries.
Yeah, feel the same way. Absolutely. And if that's a sign, if that's a good sign, if that's a sign that we're going to be doing cool things and making money, then I'm happy.
To make money because money gives you options, and with options, you never get bored.
Yeah, and you also do not want to be poor in South Africa. Not a good thing for anybody because the government ain't going to help you, I'm afraid. So Ben sent me a very funny picture. He sent me a picture. You walked past some shop and you saw Harry's autobiography, and it cost something like 500 or 600 rand.
What?
For the book. Too much.
Yeah. Way too much. But then Ben went around taking pictures of other people's autobiographies, and they're much more reasonably priced.
Well, so this is the thing, right? If Faf du Plessis, national treasure, currently killing it in SA20 for the Joburg Super Kings, he was quite reasonable, but 318 rand.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And you get a black and white photo of him on the cover if you're into that. It's a proper thing, right? This Harry, you know, spare 616 rand is almost double what you pay for Faf. He's not double the person Faf is. You say what he wants, I don't care. Faf is probably more. He's probably given back to, he's entertained us, he's been a lot more important. Which just made me think, like, I went through a stage where I read a lot of sporting autobiographies because that was my life. And then I thought, like, I haven't actually read an autobiography for so long. Obviously, I don't want to read Harry's. And with respect to Faf, I'm just not that into sport to really be too invested in his story. But I thought to myself, like, who currently would I like to see an autobiography from? And it was quite a difficult question. I didn't really have immediate answers for. Because, like, I think we get too exposed to what's happening out there. So, you know, in the past, an autobiography would come out and there would be completely things that you've never seen or heard before. But because everyone shares everything, like their ovaries onwards on social media, I think autobiographies have kind of lost their bit of appeal now.
I mean, is there anybody you can think of, Simpiwe, that you would want to read the autobiography of right now that you don't already know everything about? Because Ben's right. People are sharing everything every day. All you have to do is follow them on social media and you will find out all kinds of stuff that you wouldn't even get from an autobiography. I mean, you know, some of these famous people on social media are, I mean, some of them are oversharing. Madonna, for example, who we spoke about last Friday. I mean, you can climb inside Madonna's vagina if you would like to. By following her on social media. There's no amount of expose that can be brought about by a book that's going to get you as close to Madonna as she's already letting you get close to her in her social media. So it almost takes away the reason for an autobiography. Is there anyone you'd read?
No. Mom O has already told us how she's done it, interviewed everyone and how she's doing it. Yeah. So I think I'm good in that regard. There's podcasts about the lady. There are TV shows. She's said it all. I don't need to read a book now by Mom O saying, oh, and this was my life. And this is what I did. And this is what I thought. So yeah, I think it has lost that appeal to it. But so much money for Prince Harry to tell us what? Like,
what? No, exactly.
But don't you also find it nowadays, because celebrity is so easy and it doesn't mean much, everyone's a celebrity, so therefore these books also have less impetus. Because back in the day, you would want to hear about a story because someone's achieved something or done something very interesting. Now, you know, and the autobiography was like the way of sort of closing the loop, so to speak, about a great life or a life that meant something. And now you get 20, 30-year-olds writing autobiographies.
Exactly.
Very odd concept.
No. Yeah, I mean, this even bothered me when the publishers wanted me to write that book, the last one I did, because I was like, well, I haven't done enough yet to be writing this. You know, an autobiography is also something that you would write at the end of a very incredible, very productive, very successful life. And I don't know which one was the last one I read that I was blown away by. If I think just a little bit harder, I'd probably come up with a few names. But, you know, out of all those sports biographies, what was your favorite one, Ben? Which one really changed your mind and made you think, wow, this guy or girl is way deeper and more interesting than I thought they were?
I think Steve Waugh, the cricketer. Book was this big, and I was intrigued by, like, how could it be so big? Did he have, like, a meth business on the side? I mean, how could it be such a long book? But that was actually really fascinating. Because, I mean, I obviously grew up in the 90s where you just hated every Aussie cricketer and you wanted them to, like, basically get meningitis at the crease. But his story was very interesting. And then Andre Agassi, again, incredibly good story, because you never knew about his upbringing because there was no social media. You never knew about all the family struggles he had because it was never breaking news, or he wasn't, you know, having emotional support issues that he put on social media. So those were still very good. Like, you would read it and go, okay, I know this guy plays tennis. I know he was successful. I know he won this, this, and this. But you never
dated all those hot women in the 80s.
Maybe another way of maybe like defending the autobiography is how a story gets packaged, because we are in like a highlights culture. You know, we always pick up like the sort of superficial stuff. And if you have a decent writer, like Herschel Gibbs's book, for example, there was a decent writer there, but the story was just all over the place because he was still so young. And it was Herschel Gibbs, like, got drunk, boned a lot of women, incredibly talented, ultimately disappointing on his potential. And that was exactly how the story unfolded. So I think if you can package a story from a different angle and there is a bit of substance there, maybe there's still something that's really good.
Who do you think would be the autobiography that would blow all the other ones out of the water? Like, there are some people whose stories are incredible, but very few people know them. They haven't shared everything on social media. They have like this incredible tapestry. And we often talk about like the Hollywood greats and what it must have been like in those days in, you know, the movie business. Or you've introduced me to the story of like John Vardy, Ben. And there are people who nobody really knows, who've been operating in the world of well-known people, the world of rich people, the world of exciting adventures and, you know, wrestling crocodiles and doing really incredible stuff. But we don't know about them because they've chosen not to share for whatever reason. Those are the people whose books I'd really want to read.
So another person, I think, like David Attenborough, I don't know if he's written a book that's been comprehensive enough or he cares enough to do that, because he's shared, you've seen his life, but his life has been presenting the planet and exploring this incredible Earth. But, you know,
hasn't actually been about him.
I would love to know what the sort of links were in between, like who were the people that made this important, what inspired him, what interests him, and what he feels about the world. Because I think that would be a good book.
Mm. Yeah, there are a few people, only a few, who we don't know enough about that we really are still hungry for information about. I mean, you could probably name all of them on one or two hands, and that would be enough. So here's some suggestions. Keanu Reeves says Rebellious Ruth. Also Leo DiCaprio. Oh, I don't know. Dusty Nose says Scar Tissue by Anthony Kiedis of Red Hot Chili Peppers was a wild read. I believe so. I still haven't read that, but apparently it was insane, that book. My brother got it and was raving about it for like weeks afterwards. Yeah, Keith Richards.
Obvious. You know, Gareth, you just mentioned like one or two hands. I think, you know, if Cyril were to write an autobiography, it would just be two hands just looking for a handout. And that would be a very short book because he basically chronicled all of the handouts that he's got and, you know, pushed himself towards.
Well, one of the reasons I asked this question is not just because of your story of seeing how expensive Prince Harry's book was, but I'm going to a documentary, Sia Khaleesi's story is coming out in documentary form on Sunday. Yep. Which I'm excited about. And the premiere is happening. It's called Rise, the Sia Khaleesi story. So that's that could be really interesting.
Yeah, it's a genuine homegrown success story. And I know lots have made of it because people always gravitate towards whoever the hottest property in celebrity land is. But I think if you really just take away all the sort of hype and extra light, it's still a wonderful story. It's still an incredible story how the guy literally came from nothing. Literally. And he is probably the most recognizable South African globally, if you really think about
it. And he's got like a very safe reputation. You know, he's not out there causing trouble, getting out of hand, behaving extremely badly. He's not one of those. Yeah.
Look, he's a sports guy. He's sliding into women's DMs. That's come out a few times. Maybe not be too naive around that.
Yeah. Rachel doesn't want that to be written into any story, though, I'm sure. All right, here's a game. We're going to play a game. Simpiwe, Ben, are you ready to play a game? All right, the game is called How Fucked Are We? Okay, so I'm going to show you a few pictures and I'm going to show you a few videos that'll give you an idea of what the world is like at the moment, and you can see how fucked the world is. All right, let's start off with a woman in a capsule. Now, how long ago did COVID come to an end here in South Africa? Only a few months. It was sort of around this time last year. No, sorry, June, July last year, that they said, all right, you don't have to wear masks anymore, any of that stupid shit. But here is a woman just last week. Are you ready? A woman in an airport in America. Take a look at this, and I'll explain to the people who are listening on podcast afterwards what it is. There's a lady. And you can see she's got a whole, like a tent over her. She's basically got a tent from the waist up with panels, Perspex panels on the sides and on the front. And she's walking through an airport in America with this huge capsule on. So how fucked are we? I would say, judging by her, if aliens landed today, about 9 out of 10 fucked. Here is a girl who put herself on TikTok. I have removed the sound from some of these because they have just music, basically. So there's no sound that'll help. Plus, the sound in this next one could be very disturbing. This is a girl who's decided to share, a German girl, decided to share her eating habits with us. Here we are. Take a look at this. She's enormously fat. She's got whipped cream that she's emptying into her mouth from the can. She's made what looks like a whipped cream beard around her chin. And then there's this huge pile of whipped cream on her stomach, in which I think there is lodged a donut or some other sweet tart or something like that. Anyway, she's decided to share this video with us. This is humanity at its best, obviously. And I would say, judging by her, we're about a 10 out of 10 fucked. Then
it's interesting, though, that she's taken the pride of having a ring light for the video.
Yes, everyone is famous enough to require a ring light these days, Ben. All right, here are some pictures to give you an idea, and you tell me how fucked you think we are. So this is the front row of a fashion show this week with an unknown Kardashian at the extreme left, Kylie Kardashian. Then we've got, or Jenna. Then next to her looks like a very tattered and torn Barbara Streisand. And then I think it's Dua Lipa or...
No, it's Doja Cat.
Doja Cat, right. Okay, Doja Cat, who's covered in red. She's even got red paint all over her face and head and what appears to
it's
be like...
diamonds, in fact.
diamonds. Okay.
Yes. Right. So and this was like for Fashion Week. And this was her look. And I was still like, what the hell? Because it's Kylie Jenner who came with a whole lion's head. That was her outfit. And I was like, what the hell? And then this one is covered in like these diamond red. Like, I was just, guys, unbelievable. It's a lot.
So these two, especially here, you know, Kylie Jenner and Doja Cat. I mean, these two are an example of people whose lives are just not, they're not important or consequential enough. They do not have enough to worry about in their lives. If this is what they do, they dress up like this for someone else's fashion show. Just bear in mind, the show is not about them. Nobody came to see them.
Of course it's about them. The show is always about them. They leave the house thinking the show is about them. I'm not too worried about Doja Cat. I mean, there's a person that calls himself Doja Cat. What's happening with the lion in that pic? Is that a handbag?
It's the dress.
Is she wearing the lion?
Yes. So the head of the lion's like on the side of her dress. And that's like the main piece of it. And it's just like a black silhouette. Very simple dress, and people are just like, what the hell is going on? You know, like, this is crazy. You guys just walk around with lions on your shoulder.
If these are the people that young women are looking up to, how fucked are we, Simpiwe and Ben?
Yeah, it's tickets, especially those two, because they're doing the utmost. A lot of people have been seeing Doja kind of go down this rabbit hole because she started out in the industry like, oh, this young girl doing amazing things. And then she just started rocking up at these red carpets looking like somebody beat her up. And they're like, oh, it's just part of the look. And then she's just been deteriorating before our eyes. So even that outfit, we're all like,
outrageous. Oh,
guys, no, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that picture. These are people who... Okay, look, the lion thing, my biggest problem is that people must leave lions alone. This English rugby team call themselves the Lions. You guys have got to use your own fucking animals. People coming here, like, lions are African. That's fuck with that now. I've never been the biggest person about cultural appropriation because I'm not very cultured, but enough with the lions now.
Okay.
Don't try to say this whole symbol of strength kind of thing. Leave them alone.
How fucked are we? Here's an ad that was put out this week. I'm not sure who the ad is meant to benefit, but it's a full page ad in a magazine, and it says people have periods, and there is not one woman in this picture. It's a whole bunch of men, from what I can tell. And these men are appropriating. They're basically putting on woman face. They are pretending that they are women. Whether or not they're transgender or they believe themselves to be transgender is completely besides the point. But the ad is people have periods, not women have periods. So I don't know, Simpiwe, what do you think of this? How fucked are we?
This is absolutely outrageous. Like, if there's one thing, I'm just like, guys, this is drawing the line. This is, in fact, it's over the line. I can't. This.
I mean... You know, you can tell that it's men who are pretending to be women and have a fetish about like dressing up or going around masquerading, because women are not advertising their periods. Women know what that is. Women know how much of a pain that is to deal with every month. They know it's not the most convenient thing. It doesn't always make your life better. These guys who are trying to appropriate womanhood obviously have no idea.
So, guys, you made a very good point there. I think we must make a thing of woman face, because ultimately, blackface is people just assuming a race, right? It makes them feel very trivial. It's a character assassination kind of thing. When are we going to actually value women enough to have woman face as a thing? Because for the last 5 years or so, it just feels like women are being degraded left, right, and center. You got guys playing women's sport. This period bullshit right here. It's like you're just trivializing. Being a woman is probably the most fundamental important thing about society, right? They give birth to the next generation every time.
Yeah.
Why are they being trivialized so much? And why are the feminists not upset about that ad?
Well, that's a whole other discussion for another day, but we're playing the game. How fucked are we? And I just thought this Friday, let's remind ourselves of the of the extremes of humanity. That's the worst one for you so far?
By far, by far. Okay.
All right. How's this one? This could only appear in the Guardian newspaper, which is the worst rag in Britain. Emma Beddington, who looks like the kind of person who no one on earth would want to have living with them or spending time with them or being romantic with, says in her opinion piece, if plants are so intelligent, should we stop eating them? Yes, this is a serious article from The Guardian. Recent research suggests plants may be able to learn and communicate. This really put me off my baked potato. How fucked are we with her?
No one has ever wanted to take Emma to Beddington.
No, I don't think so either. All right, here's another one. This is a tweet from Dr. Anita B. Eating, which I think may be a parody account, but nonetheless, this is something, there are people who actually feel this way. Obese is the N-word for plus-sized people. First of all, no, honey, it isn't, and you don't know what the N-word is all about. But second of all, obese is just a medical categorization for enormous monsters like you. And you can see by her picture, whether it's a parody account or not, she has no idea of how to stop eating. None whatsoever. Again, how fucked are we, Ben and Simpiwe?
I would go with that being a fantastic troll, because people who are victims aren't funny and they're not very clever and need to be eaten. That's funny and clever.
All right. Here's another one, especially for Simpiwe. I know how she's going to love this. This is a person who has modified their body. They've got tattoos to make themselves look like they have blue skin. They've modified their body to be a black alien, and now restaurants are scared to serve me. They've put in horns. Yeah. So, I mean, we obviously don't feel sorry for this person, but how fucked are we as a species?
There was a very good comment just back here from Lindy, is how fucked are they? These people are, they're absolute minorities. And unfortunately, because the internet sells on attraction and attention, this isn't even a thing.
Okay. All right. Well, then, I mean, this one probably doesn't really touch sides compared to some of the others. How about this? This is a picture of a baby being fed, and it says here, baby was losing weight and vomiting. At the hospital, doctors discovered that the baby was starving from an almond milk diet. The parents were feeding it almond milk because they were left-wing hippies, and the baby was not able to, you know, put on any weight or even use this rubbish nutrition provided by almonds. So it took the hospital to figure this out.
Yeah.
Yeah, those people should be arrested. They should be arrested straight away, taken out of society. And maybe it's actually time we stop calling almond milk almond milk. It's almond water. Let's not get too caught up in this. If you're lactose intolerant, great. You'll know it's a substitute. You know to be sold it.
I mean, milk has to come from a mammal. Mammary glands is where we get our name mammal. So if we have mammary glands as mammals and other mammals have mammary glands, then milk has to come from mammary glands. So anything that doesn't come from a mammal is not milk. Let's just be clear about that. That's already an established scientific fact. You're going to use the word milk. Let's only use that for living animal mammals. Yeah. The parents weren't breastfeeding. They were feeding this child almond milk in a bottle.
Oh gosh, child abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Call the popo. Call someone. That's child abuse. Nope.
All right, I've got two more for you because I know you're having fun. I know you two are loving this. It's making you feel more and more normal every single second. But here's a girl who wants to explain why she broke up with her ex. Again, they've got some inane music that everybody uses in their TikToks in the background. But take a look at why she broke up with her ex, and maybe I can have your opinions, Ben and Simpiwe. Let's go. There she is. She goes, my ex is my ex. Why? Won't get vaccinated.
Oh, wow.
Also, doesn't believe in the vaccine.
Oh, wow.
Also, an anti-vaxxer, which all the same thing, by the way. Also, isn't vaccinated. Again, same thing. And doesn't trust science. And that's why this smug girl broke up with her boyfriend. Oh, I assume boyfriend.
Good for him. I'm glad they broke up. If those are the reasons why you broke up with your man, and I don't know if he's an incredible human or not, but it says more about you, darling. And I think he's better off without you. That's it.
That is the greatest bullet dodge video I've ever seen. And the thing is, she's attractive, so other guys will pretend to like her for sex. I mean, for many years to come. But sure. No, I mean, it's definitely the fault is with her there. It's not him.
And I've saved the best till last, guys, because I don't know what kind of man, and I mean man as in, you know, dignified, self-assured, confident, manly man would ever put a video like this on social media. But this guy decided to share this with the world. And I really hope you're watching us on YouTube this morning, because you'd be missing out otherwise. And I'd love your comments after this, Ben and Simpiwe. Are you ready?
Ew. I bet Chungus, Morty, Rick and Morty. Meow, 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 meow. Hey, kitten.
What's going on?
Raised on almond milk.
What is that? Simpiwe says so. Okay, it's a guy. It looks like a guy. He's got long hair and a beard, but he also makes these funny kitten and then screaming and shouting noises and kind of just squealing. Like, I don't know even how to describe that sound.
He posted that himself acting all sorts of crazy. And then you post that.
And what kind of a person would actually choose to put that on the internet? Nobody put that on without his permission or knowledge. He put that on. How fucked are we?
Okay, so I'm going to give you a philosophical answer here, Gareth, because this is exactly like the other ones. We're not fucked. They fucked. If we, like, we must stop stooping to their levels. I know it's a bit of a Friday laugh, but I think a lot of people keep looking at this like these are the mirrors of society. These are like the skid marks of society, actual skid marks. Skid marks on someone else's underwear as well, more importantly.
I'm worried because it starts off as the minority. And then it just kind of grows and grows and grows. And before you know it, that is the norm. Like someone just recording a video and just being stupid. The internet, like, guys, we must just bring back shame, because this is not it. This is, I'd like to think that in the era I grew up in, you know, having a bit of shame and being told that you can't do X, Y, Z, or that you suck at X, Y, Z, helped me to be the person I am today. And I'm a decent human. So, you know what? Maybe we must just go back and do some of the things we did in the past, because this is not working. This is not it.
Simpiwe brought this up last week and she was spot on. Add a little shame back into some of the behavior that humans are putting out there. Shame, shame, shame. We must get the shame bell again. The Game of Thrones shame bell. Make them walk through town while everybody says shame, shame. And they ring the bell behind you and they throw fruit at you and all that stuff. I think it's necessary. It'll help humanity get back in track.
And I think it's fun as well. I would like to throw a fruit at someone. A deserving person, of course. Not just indiscriminately throw a fruit. That'd be mean. But I would really like that. I think it's healthy. You get outside. Keeps your eye in.
Mm. Carl says, I can't watch shit like that. I can't handle people embarrassing themselves like that. Ultimate pussery. It's cringeworthy. Well, that's exactly why I'm going to play it one last time, just for anybody who didn't get enough of the cringe. Are you ready? Last bit of cringe for the morning. And then we say goodbye to our game of How Fucked Are We for this morning.
Ew. I bet Chungus, Morty, Rick and Morty. Meow, 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 meow. Hey, kitten. Ooh.
The only words I understood, Rick and Morty.
The wonderful saying that says every pot has a lid. I do not want to see what the lid to that pot is. I just
No. Let's leave it alone.
Actually, I already have. It was the woman with the fucking whipped cream on its enormous stomach.
Like, what was she shooting on OnlyFans? Like, what's going on? Like, I'm so. Because she had the ring light and she was smiling and she was like, okay, I'm like, is this a thing? Like, are there people out there that find this sexy? They're like getting turned on right now because
Listen, if you and Simpiwe enjoyed that, Ben, I will be happy to share new ones with you every week, because that was just a tiny sampling. That was just a tiny sampling of some of the messed up people that you will find on things like Instagram and TikTok at the moment.
No,
so,
thanks. But Simpiwe, I've got a counter to your point there. You know, people are into that. What if, because you know, everyone's got like a preference, okay? Let's use the word preference because it's quite healthy. What if your preference, whether you like it or not, are people like the whipped cream girl? And no matter, and like you're a decent person, you know, you're friendly, you're social, you go to work, you do all the things, but then at home at night, you can't help but get like really turned on by that fucking enormous mess with the whipped cream. You know, there's an amazing saying what guys use, like, not my proudest wank, where it's like it's a funny thing when people look at horrible pictures. But what if, because you know, like people are wired differently, right? You can't choose who you are. I can't choose who I am. It's just me. But what if your thing is that?
Yeah, it's horrible. Like, that's
just, what if that is your kink?
That's being cursed. Being cursed by the gods.
But what I would say is that, like, back in those days, even if that was your thing, it was something that was hidden. And even the people that were shooting that kind of content made sure that it was on the download. Like now, like you could be scrolling and every other video could be that. So even if I'm not into it and you're not into it, you're not being exposed, and we need to normalize this kind of behavior. It's like, no, there's a reason why BDMS was put there, and it's for the people that wanted to do it over there. I'm not trying to get exposed to that. Like, stop trying to make that my normal. It's not.
Yeah. I agree. But you know, like, just to prove a point there, like, Carl really gets off on that obese lady. And he's open about it. Carl, I mean, obviously I feel what you're going through.
Yeah, he says he's got a semi from the obese lady. I'm at gym and battling to hide it. Nom nom nom. See? See? Different strokes. You know, somebody said in the comments just now, and I want to give them credit because I think it's such a good point, is that it's Ursula. She says, we've equated loving everyone with approving of everyone. You know, you could love a member of your family, even if they're a total loser, to use last week's word of the week. And if they're shameful and embarrassing, you can still love them because they're your cousin or your brother or your uncle or whoever, but you don't have to approve of their behavior. And I think that's the problem, is that people now approve. They want approval. And by the way, it goes further than just approval, because it used to be just tolerate me. Remember when people would say, you know, you have to have more tolerance for people who are not like you. You remember those days? Anybody?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Then it went from tolerate to kind of, no, you have to accept. You can't just tolerate. You must accept what I do. And then it's gone even a step further, I would say, where people are now expecting you to cheer them on. They're expecting you to like join in on their excitement and celebration around their bizarre lifestyle choices. So if you, for example, are making body modifications and you look like a lizard and you've painted your whole body blue and you have like inserted things under your eyebrows and horns into your head, and now we're expected not only to tolerate you, not only to accept you and not look at you, by the way, because if you look at them funny, they go, what are you looking at? You're like, excuse me, you look like that and you don't want me to look. But now you also have to celebrate. So when you see them walk into the room, you just go, oh, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. You meant to lie to yourself that it's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you look at again in the comments, Sivan just gets back to the fundamentals. And, you know, Gareth, with this new studio you're going to, I think you need a new merch line. We just need to start selling shirts to say stop nonsense.
We are going to.
We need to put it into the public Discord out there. You need to stop nonsense.
Yes.
Absolutely. No, that's what we're going to do. That's pretty much our theme for the year, Ben, is that this year we're stopping the nonsense because there's too much of it. There's just no room for non-nonsense.
If Ginger Winger can sell his autobiography for 616 rons, although apparently it's cheaper on Takealot, then I think you could knock out a Stop Nonsense shirt for the same amount of money. People will buy it. It'll be useful.
Probably.
It'll define all of those who believe in nonsense being stopped, which I think is also a good thing to unite around. Yeah. Got to stop it.
All right. Borge is not going to be able to join us this morning from Texas, where he's busy at a car show, but I want to show you some of his pictures and he can tell us what's going on here later on. That is, look at how cool that Uber looks, by the way. Is that a glass roof? Phenomenal.
It looks,
Find out about that. Here is a county jail backdrop for one of the cafes, which is quite cool. George is standing next to a Tesla and having a cargasm. It's the NADA show that he's at, if you wanted to know exactly what he's doing in Texas. Here he's looking cold. Apparently, it's been freezing in Texas. And, you know, Texas is meant to have like a temperate climate. So we got lots to talk to George about when he comes back on the show next week. All right. Ben, you have some information for us this morning. You know, we always learn new things on the show. It's not just about us criticizing woke culture or laughing about people who've done ridiculous and stupid things on the internet. We also have a kind of education element to what we do here. And you have been looking into the origin of the word motherfucker, which I think is really important. I mean, this is Samuel L. Jackson's most important word. He made it mainstream. He's still the only guy who can say it with any real weight and gravity. So tell us about the word motherfucker and tell us where it comes from.
I've always found it quite intriguing because as a word, if you take it on a very literal basis, it's really quite something.
Yeah.
To be known as a motherfucker, in no way can it, in a literal sense, can it be healthy or at least in any way positive. Like you would never want to fuck your mother, right? So it was first used in, I think, 1890. There was a trial going on with two grieving parties, and this one person was just so irate that out of nowhere, and it was written in the court transcripts, they refer to this person as a bastard son of a bitch motherfucker.
Wow.
And no one ever heard those words get put into a sentence before. So it was kind of first used then, but it didn't become like a popular term on the back of that. People started to use motherfucker to really express the hardships. So like during the world wars and that kind of stuff, you know, you would have a motherfucker of a day because you're being mortared and your foot's rotting and all these kind of things. So it would always express a hardship or a difficulty that's been expressed upon you by a situation. Mm. Obviously, there were certain variations of that. But only from like 1960 onwards did motherfucker actually change because of R&B's like influence and, you know, popular music. Motherfucker started getting used as like almost a sign of appreciation and respect. So we've gone from it being an insult to being a sign of hardship to then being someone who's endured hardship and has come out the other side. So if you were seen as like someone who was like, if you call someone like a badass or you call someone like hard, you know, like person who'd done something, they became known as motherfuckers because they've endured what was the motherfucking, which was the hardship. And, you know, there was a lot of kind of deviations around the origin, you know, back in slave times, people believed that it was from there when the slave owners used to obviously impregnate their slaves. Therefore, they were called motherfuckers because they were trying to, I don't know, study the bloodlines of these families. But that wasn't actually how it was used. Yes, the practice happened, but they were never called motherfuckers. And then from the back of that, like more songs started using it. And that's how a lot of words get, you know, obviously appropriated into our culture. Oh. And then with more songs being used and more characters being glorified as motherfuckers, that is where we get it to its absolute zenith, which was Samuel L. Jackson and the way he used it. So it started out as a brazen insult to then start up to like camaraderie almost, how people endured these motherfuckings together. And then it is what it is today.
Two things, just immediate observations. In fact, three. First one, if you call someone a tough motherfucker, that is high praise. That's a compliment. That person has been through war zones. They've survived cancer. They've managed to survive two or three partners who were just absolute devilish, evil sacks of shit. You know, if you're a real motherfucker, you're a strong, unbelievably powerful, tough individual. So I think that's a great word for describing those people. I've used it myself. Second observation is that the best use of that term was in Snakes on a Plane when Samuel L. Jackson, who really is he's the fountain of this word. He's the one who uses it with the most confidence and alacrity. Yeah. He goes, "Man, I have had enough of these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane," which is the best line in all movie history. It just makes all the others, you know, fade into insignificance. And then the third thing is, that, and there's a good point being raised by Carl, it doesn't have to be your own mom that you think of when you say the word motherfucker. In fact, it's very disturbing if you think of your own mom. Mm. What you should effectively think about is other mothers. And let's face it, the dating pool, Ben, for people like you, late 30s, early 40s for me, is that there are only mothers. Yeah, it's a motherfucker because really, most of the girls have already had a kid with some other guy. And really, that's the pool that you got to choose from unless you're very, very lucky or you go very young. So, I mean, this is a reality.
No, but I mean, like the thing is, like you and Carl are deviating past, like Samuel L. Jackson and the eternal quote that you just mentioned there. It was the perfect use of motherfucker because the motherfucking snakes, they're hardcore, right? They're absolute adversaries. And then the motherfucking plane was what housed this challenge. So the motherfucker was endured and Samuel L. Jackson was the motherfucker who actually just encapsulated
the enduring. Yeah. It's beautiful.
So now you know it's not really like a incestuous kind of thing. It's not really that crude even. It's just putting a phrase to the enormity of a challenge, and those who endure them are motherfuckers.
Just quickly, two forms of this word. Tracy spells it M-O-T-H-E-R and then fucker properly. But of course, the better spelling is the one that Steve uses here. M-U-T-H-F-U-C-K-A-S, which is motherfuckers. You've got to say it properly.
Yeah, again, you know, it's like this is how language evolves. We get our little dialects and it's great. Same meaning.
All right. But I prefer the spelling in Steve's version. I think that that's right because it sounds more like Samuel L. Jackson saying, motherfucker. You know, if you say motherfucker, it doesn't sound as good.
Yeah, because, you know, Barry Ronger's reviews back in the day, the late, great Barry Ronger, he never, ever would say, well, the movie was a bit of a motherfucker to start with the opening dialogue. But frankly, I endured that, and it was an absolute scintillating finish. Context is so key.
I have used it as a negative in traffic. If someone cuts you off or they're driving really slowly in front of you or whatever, I'll sometimes go, motherfucker.
Not a positive. You've just endured a hardship. And that person has thought, fuck this. I'm doing whatever I want.
Right. Okay. Got you. Simpiwe, you don't use that word. You've got a much too clean mouth. You would never say things like that. Am I right?
That is very much correct. But don't get on my wrong side because I just might cut you out until, you know, Jesus comes back. So, don't try me.
Oh, that's so great. All right. So now we've learned the origin of a very important word, which is an essential part of everyone's lexicon. And then just finally, any last shots from Ben and Simpiwe for this morning? We've got a couple of minutes left of the show and then we've got to start our Fridays. We've got lots to do this weekend. I'm sure Ben, you busy this weekend? You're going to do any cool activities?
No, I went away last weekend and I've just realized that I'm spending way too much money on this whole you must live your life bullshit. I'm going to try to keep it a little bit local, actually. I'm going to have one of those times where maybe I appreciate my apartment, maybe stay at home. But also, it's so motherfucking hot right now that I really need a pool. And it's something that I've realized, like there's a massive flaw about living in Joburg. I think it's a South African thing. When you live in like cities like Dubai or wherever overseas, you can go spend days at hotels and you have like pool days, right?
Yeah. Sometimes in some of these apartments, you know, most of the modern apartments that they build in warm countries, you may not have a big pool, but every apartment has like a little pool on the balcony. It could be, yeah, it could be the size of one of those kiddies pools, but it's still there. It's there for you to cool down.
Yeah, I mean, look, sure. But I would like to think that hotels mostly in Joburg are very quiet over weekends because you would think a lot of hotels in Joburg are corporate traffic-based. So why aren't these guys being more productive and having, like, pool day specials? You know, say, for instance, it's like, I don't know, $500 and you get, like, a bottle of something or there's areas and day beds. Why aren't they doing that? And I want to find more hotels that want to be productive like this. Like, I don't have a pool at my apartment. I've got a lovely roof, but there's no pool. I've got a bath that I use for ice baths, but I want to chill by a pool. And you phone these places up and they go, sorry, sir, you've got to be a resident to come here. It's like, fuck that. That's just stupid. You're telling me that pool is totally full?
they don't let you in. They don't let you go and use the pool if you're a day visitor.
The only place that I've had success is Sky Hotel in Sandton. The other ones just kind of, it's a person following protocol, right? The ones that I haven't called all of them, but the ones that I have chatted to, they're like, sorry, sir, you need to be staying at the hotel to be using the pool.
Oh, I think that's very unfair.
I'm not going to pee in the pool. I'm not. I'll sit next to the pool. I'll behave. I'll order from your menu. I'll create revenue.
Simpiwe, have you found any places around Joburg where you can use other people's pools? Besides, obviously, friends and house parties and things. But are there pools around where you can go and just chill?
No. Well, we have a pool at my house, so I've never...
So you don't care.
Around. Yeah, okay. So it's always like people hit me up to be like, hey, friend, are you home? It's quite hot. Let's have a braai. Yeah, I'm coming over.
Yeah, and by the way, you know, if you have a pool, like summer is, all you have to provide is the pool. Everyone who comes must bring everything else. You must bring the booze. Absolutely. You must bring the meat. Because if the person, you know, it's an expensive business maintaining a pool. So you should be considerate as a guest and you bring everything else.
Oh, yeah. And it's one thing I've noticed is that people pick the days for you. They'll be like, it's hot. We're coming tomorrow. Make sure you're home and we'll do the rest. And you're like, oh, great. Well, I'll see you guys tomorrow.
Something funny happened to me on Tuesday. This girl that I sort of know I don't actually know her that well. We met once or twice and she invited me to a pool party, but I was on this group with a whole lot of people who were invited to this pool. Woo, we're going to have a pool party. Address was given, time was given, everything. I was like, well, maybe, you know, if I've got time on Saturday. And then the conversation starts, you know, in those groups and everyone has to have a say. And I didn't know who most of these people were. And then on yesterday afternoon, sorry, guys, we're going to have to cancel the pool party. It's not happening anymore. I don't know what happened there, but obviously, yeah, just they called it off. So I'm glad I didn't get too committed.
Oh, no, that's so heartbreaking. Like even I was just excited just hearing that it's a pool party. Like if there's one party I always look forward to, it's pool parties. Yeah. But I also know that my people, they don't get into the pool. So that's also problematic because I'm just like, why are we here then? Like you must be.
Well, Therence has got it completely wrong. Swim at the gym, Ben. The point is not to swim, Therence. You're not there to do exercise. I understand what a gym is. So does Ben. So does Simpiwe. But we want to sit around the pool. Like jump in because you want to cool down, not because you want to do lengths.
Yeah.
And the gym won't allow you. The gym won't allow you to like put your towel down and lie in the sun.
And just float. You're just floating there. You're like, woo. Yeah. This and is
nice. I also want someone to serve me booze. Like I would like that. You know, not because I'm unable to do it, but I would like someone to bring me a drink of my choosing. That's how a weekend should be spent.
Well, Ben, this isn't far from you. Homozo says the Melrose Arch Hotel Pool Bar could be fun.
Yeah, that's just down the road, right.
Yeah. The Leonardo, according to Sandile, has a very cool pool.
Look, they all have great pools, but I don't want to be leered at by someone who's like, are you staying here? No, I'm not. I'm here to cool off and drink.
Clint from the Val says, Ben, I've just moved to Joburg. You can use my pool, but keep your motherfucking shirt on. I'm not having my wife drool over your body. Okay, well.
Retract the invite. Clint, nope,
thanks. But I mean, again, you're taking my freedoms. The pool has a no shirt place.
Yeah, I'm afraid that's true. Even if you're not thrilled about your body, Carl says, Gareth, will you take your shirt off in public? Yeah, I mean, I will, but you're not going to see me posting it on the internet. And I, what's the point of being around a pool if you're going to wear a t-shirt? Sorry, that's not on.
Like, please wear appropriate clothing for the pool. There are swimming costumes for a reason. What we're not doing is coming in like these, like full clothes and like, yeah, no. Wear your swimming costume. Have a towel. Let's look good. Let's get into the water now and again and let's have fun. Like the whole premise of the pool is to have fun. Like, guys, no. Mm-mm.
Correct, Simpure. Say it again. All right, everybody. Listen, whatever you're up to this weekend, I hope you get to be in a pool, someone else's pool, maybe yours. But have a good weekend and let us know what you're up to, on Monday morning when we return. We've got a live show from our new premises. Ben, I've also got to show you around the new premises at some point.
Yes, I'm excited about that.
Very good. Everybody have an awesome weekend and we will see you on the flip side. Cheers, everybody. Bye bye.
Wow.
CliffCentral.com.